ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, June 6th, 2006 Carrboro Board of Aldermen meeting. We have a long agenda tonight, and so I would ask everyone to do what they can to help us get through it. We have a lot of work that we have to get done between now and the beginning of July when we go on break for a month or so. The first item on our agenda is requests from visitors and speakers from the floor, and I have only I have two people to speak on that. First, Victoria Ralston regarding the Carrboro Film Festival. Come on up to the podium and tell us what's going on.
Right here. Hi, everyone. I'm Tori Ralston. I'm the chair of the Carrboro Arts Committee. I have something short to read, but just before I get into reading, what we're trying to do, the Arts Committee has a couple of galleries in town that we use for hanging visual arts, and we have sponsored a poetry festival recently, and we have a subcommittee came out of our committee, which runs the music festival in Carrboro. So we're at it again, and this time we want to create a film festival. And this would be a juried festival. This would be our first one, and we're looking for some support for that. So this is something that the committee put together. I'm going to read about this. The newly formed Carrboro Film Festival Committee, a subcommittee of the Carrboro Art Committee, along with other film-focused individuals, including several local filmmakers, is pleased to announce that planning for the first festival has begun. This is the annual Carrboro Film Festival. This will be a celebration of film and video creativity we have right here in Orange County, and a competition for up-and-coming filmmakers. So this festival is scheduled for Sunday, November 19th, 2006. It will be held at Century Hall in the Century Center, and there will be additional showings of the award winners, including a People's Choice Award chosen by the film festival attendees at the Art Center a couple of weeks later. So we've already begun lining up sponsors and foresee this initial event being primarily funded by grants and private donations, quite a bit we've already gotten. We've applied for a grant from the Orange County Arts Commission and are planning to do the same with other granting institutions such as Stroud Roses. Unfortunately, the idea for this and the organization of the film festival came too close to the end of the budget process this year for us to request funds in that way. Our wish is from the town is primarily to provide support from the Century Center as a venue so that we could have that venue for free and offer support from the recreational and park staff on the day of the event. So that's our one request. And also we're hoping that we can get some discretionary money to match what we have generated. We'd like to ask for $500 from the town. We're also anticipating income in film submission fees and ticket and T-shirt sales. Let's see. Let's see if I'm missing anything. Some of the folks that are sponsoring us already from the town, quite a few people, Unique Orn Enterprises, Beery Media, Community Realty, Carmel Mall, the Clay Center, the Open Eye Cafe, Orange County Social Club, Debbie Meyer, Eric Brantley. So we're actually doing really well. So we're just trying to see if we can bump up, get some matching funds, and get the venue donated, people in the space. Okay. Thanks.
All right. Great. Thank you very much. I think probably the thing to do is refer this request to the staff for some reaction. We've got plenty of time to make an informed decision about it.
Yeah, I would just suggest that we, in doing so, that we, once we actually have a budget adopted, that staff explore the possibility of whatever grant we may wish to consider, that we just go ahead and take that out of contingency, and that would be the source if we were to grant the request.
great.
Steve, what is the cost of the Century Center and support? Is that something you could give us a dollar figure on?
I couldn't. I mean, I could, Anita might be able to tell you what the rental fee is. I don't know right off the top of my head, but I have no idea what kind of staff we're talking about. We really need more information as to, you know, what would be involved.
So do I take that as a motion?
Yes,
from
it's a motion to refer this to staff. And
second.
Get back a recommendation as quickly as possible.
Okay. The motion's been moved and seconded to refer this to staff, and we'll look for a report back from them sometime soon. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? The matter passes unanimously. And I have one other person who wanted to speak right now is Mariana Fiorentino, if you could come up to the podium.
Hi, good evening. I'm here tonight on behalf of the Community Leadership Council and the Foundation for a Sustainable Community as chair of the 2006 Intercity Visit and Leadership Conference to invite you and staff and the community to attend the Leadership Conference to be held in September in Madison, Wisconsin. We chose Madison because of the similar issues facing Madison. There's a lot we can learn in Madison and from each other while we're there. We can look at their transportation issues, their research park, their housing issues, and the like. The importance and success of the conference really depends upon the diverse group of people that will attend. So your participation and people in the town's participation are equally important. We have $10,000 of scholarship money available. We have planned for about 80 to 90 people to attend, and as of today, we have about 49 people from a variety of organizations around town that have indicated a desire to go on the trip. We have packed days, 2.5 days of visiting the research park in Madison, the campus, their downtown. We will look at how they have resolved and solved workforce housing issues, homelessness issues, dealing with the park and the campus. So it will be a work pack, 2.5 days, September 23rd to 25th. Scholarships available. Applications are available by paper and online through the chamber website. If you have questions, comments, or whatever, you can contact me or John Wilner is here from the Arts Center, as is Dolores Bailey. You can contact Aaron Nelson at the Chamber or Robert Dowling at Orange Community Housing and Land Trust or Scott Maitland from Top of the Hill. So we've got a diverse group of planners on the committee. We're just now finalizing the specific topic, so if anyone has any thoughts or ideas or comments as to what you'd like to see or hear, please contact us, and we'd just love to see you in Madison in September. Thanks.
Great. All right. Thank you very much. Let's see, two other quick items before we move on to the consent agenda. One is that I just wanted to point out that the Project Graduation Committee for 2006 has put together for our Chapel Hill and East Chapel Hill High School graduates a alcohol and drug-free graduation party on Saturday night that will be this coming Saturday, June 10th. They were kind enough to send me an invitation, but I noted that the party goes from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. So I don't think I'm going to make it, actually, the party, but I just wanted to say I think on behalf of all the folks in the town of Carborough that we really admire what they're putting together and hope that the project, party goes really well. That'll be at the Frank Porter Graham Student Union on the UNC Chapel Hill campus on this coming June 10th, Saturday night at 11 p.m.
Great program. It really is. Yeah.
In any case, and then just one other item. I'm going to go up to the podium for this. Is Sarah Myers here by any chance?
Yeah.
Come on up, Sarah. I just wanted to present this. Sarah Myers, for the last many years, has served on the Environmental Advisory Board for the town of Carrboro, and we are grateful for the service that she has put in with the town and would like to present this certificate of appreciation now that she is retiring from the Environmental Advisory Board. Thanks very much. And is Brian Elderbroom here as well? Well, is Brian Elderbroom here? No. Well, he also has been a member of the Environmental Advisory Board for many years, and we appreciate his service on the board. He's also stepping down, and we have a certificate of appreciation for him. And then finally, is Chloe Seymour here by any chance? She served on the Carrboro Arts Committee and was an invaluable member of that committee for a number of years as well, and we'll also be sending along a certificate of appreciation to her. So thank you all to all three of you for your service to the town.
Mark?
Yes.
Before we go on to the consent agenda,
yes.
I'm wondering if it's possible to remove item D4 from the agenda, which is the discussion of the CLC trip that we just received a very gracious invitation to. And I had placed that item on the agenda, and since then I've had a chance to talk to several board members who did not feel like the decision about the homelessness roundtable a year and a half ago set a precedent, or necessarily a strong precedent, for this. And people are very interested in the potential positive outcomes from this trip, and I certainly, you know, support that interest. So I don't feel like there's a need for further discussion tonight, if everyone's okay with that.
If there's no objection, we'll remove that item. Thank you all. There are a number of people from the Community Leadership Council and who are involved in this who came tonight. We appreciate the invitation, and we appreciate your being available for the discussion. Sounds like we're going to move on. So item D4 will be deleted then. Mr. Manager, the consent agenda.
Okay. Item 1 is the approval of the minutes of the previous meetings of May 16th and May 23rd. Item 2 is a request to approve a revised interlocal agreement between Orange County and the towns on taxation collection. Item 3 is award of a construction contract for the 2005-2006 street resurfacing project. Item 4 is a request to adopt a budget ordinance amendment. Item 5 is a request to purchase a refuse truck. Item 6 is award of contract for audit firm. Item 7 is a request to approve equipment and vehicle financing. And that's
any
it.
Items?
Second.
All right. The consent agenda has been moved and seconded. And are there all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Matter passed unanimously. Before we begin on agenda item D1, presentation of Human Services Advisory Commission recommendations, the Human Services Advisory Commission has recommended, among other things, about a $4,000 grant to Empowerment, Inc., which is an organization that that I work for. And so I would like to ask the board to...
Mark be allowed to recuse himself from that item?
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
This is interesting, but our Mayor Pro Tem is not here, and so I'm going to turn the gavel over to our most recent former Mayor Pro Tempore.
Whoops. Okay. So we are on item number D1, presentation of the Human Services Advisory Commission recommendations. Lori, I believe you're here to present.
Yes, I am.
Great. If you would, please.
Good evening. I would like for all of the members of the Human Service Commission that are present to please stand so you can be recognized for the stellar job that you did. And our staff liaison is James Harris, who is always there for us, and our alderman representative is Jewel Brown, that she was there at most of our meetings. And our report is as follows. The Carver Human Services Commission held joint meetings with the Chapel Hill Human Services Committee to discuss requests from those agencies that requested funds from both Chapel Hill and Carver. Separate hearings were held for those agencies that requested funds from Carver only. The hearing process took approximately 7 weeks to complete. A diverse group of volunteers with strong human service backgrounds staffed the Human Services Commission. 49 agencies applied for funds from the human service budget. All agencies had an opportunity to present their request and respond to questions from the committee. Funding is recommended for 46 of the agencies. The total recommended allocation for fiscal year 2005-2006 is $122,304. The total amount requested from the agencies was $217,290. Are there any questions?
Do people have questions for Willie about individual items?
I John? Just want to say thank you very much. It's really tough, especially under the current budget circumstances, that a lot of the great services and the needers in our communities. I commend you for really stretching that money to the max, and to our staff for doing a great job. Thank you.
I want to echo that. And having gone through this kind of allocation process to consider this many applications and be able to parse the numbers in this kind of detail is really quite an undertaking. Thanks for that.
Lily, I want to say thank you. I thought it was a daunting task to go through 49 applicants and make the decision you did. And I was wondering for the public, if there's some bit of sage advice on how did you make the determinations? Because there's a few items in here that, money had been given in prior years and determinations were made to hold back this year. How did you...
The one that I can remember right off the top of my head, I don't have it with me, but was one group that we had funded for several years, sent in an application, but then they did not appear before us to answer any questions. So we felt that part of the whole process is to come. You ask for the money, at least come for the 20 minutes to see. That was disability awareness. Okay. And is it somebody else you had in particular?
I was wondering about the Frank Porter Graham Elementary.
We didn't see that as a human services project. It was good. What they were doing was wonderful, but we talked about that and felt that for a couple of reasons. One is, if we do that, then what will we say to other schools that come and ask for money? And that was something that the school should take up, the PTAs or whoever in the school.
And the other one I had a question about was the Piedmont Health Services.
Help me remember, James. At this age, memory goes. It's not the hearing that goes.
I hear you on that.
While Piedmont Health Services is very worthy to make that request, they were requesting about $10,000, if I'm not mistaken, and we only had $122,000. When their budget is about the same as the town of Carborough, if you look at their overall budget, and we just didn't feel that this was the time to acknowledge or even recommend funding that request.
Right. And they get lots of money. I remember now who they were. They get lots of money from other sources.
Other funding sources.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything else, Randy?
Nope. Thank
Anybody
you.
Else have any further
Thank
questions for Willie or James?
Thank you for making the tough nope. choices.
And I'll just echo what others have said. Year in, year out, you all do a very difficult job in parsing through this, and we really appreciate it. So if there are no further questions, is there a motion? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Mark?
Grab the seat again.
Mr. Manager, agenda item D2, our fiscal year 2006-2007 budget.
Okay, this is for you all to complete any budget discussions and consider the adoption of the fiscal year 2006-2007 budget. As you all know, you held a work session with myself and staff. Also, a public hearing was held on May 23rd, and following the public hearing process and the work session, we have drafted the final recommended budget. I will call attention, if you look at your places, you'll see a revised agenda abstract for this item. If I could point out a couple of items, if you look down at the bottom of that first page where it says budget ordinance, we've made two adjustments. One is adding $3,600 for phone lines for a fire alarm system for this building and next door that was budgeted for this year. And the second is a $15,500 increase for realignment of Pleasant Drive and North Greensboro Street intersection. That was budgeted in the current year. It's all grant funding. That project won't be completed this year, so we're recommending moving that grant funding forward into the next fiscal year budget. So that means a total change in the bottom line of $19,100. You'll also note in the original budget ordinance in the packet you got on Friday had an item in there for a capital project that was in an earlier draft that shouldn't be there, and so the latest copy you have in front of you deleted that item.
We do have one member of the public who signed up to speak. Would you care to hear from? Let's hear from him now. If he still is, Billy Madden still here? Oh, there he is. Oh, you are. I think now is the time to.
Yeah, this is do or die here, Billy.
Now is the time.
Stick now or?
I've noticed that.
Thank you, Mark. I'll try and keep it brief. What I wanted to talk to you about was the translation equipment that's in the budget. I believe it's about $5,000. Yeah. That's just a small drop as compared to many of the other items that are in the budget. I myself have been interacting with the Latino community as a soccer referee for well over a decade. And the evolution that I've seen in the Latino soccer community has been from guys who only spoke Spanish, some didn't know even how to sign their name, and they were very disorganized. And nowadays it's up to the point where they're very organized. They all have very sharp-looking uniforms. They now have, the spectators used to be, instead of just men who didn't have much to do on a Sunday, they got the wives, they got the kids out there. Unfortunately, some of them speak very good English, and as the referee, they give me their opinion all too well. Whereas before I can remember, I kind of missed the days when I could understand what they were saying. but with this translation equipment, in the same time, I've learned to speak Spanish to the point where many of them who don't know me, their jaw drops when I come up to them and introduce myself. With this translation equipment, I'll just get down to the basics, okay? It's great. Okay, get it. Make sure it gets used. Do not let it sit around like some Bowflex somebody buys on January 1st and gathers dust till March and April, all right, and ends up in some classified ad come June. All right, make sure it gets used. Okay. Now, the only thing, too, is that there's a lot of Latinos, like I said, who've learned to speak English. So much so now that one of the things I'm starting to come across is that some of them get perturbed when I do speak to them, first of all, in Spanish, because they have the perspective that my perspective is that they're not smart enough to learn English. Okay? That's what I'm starting to pick up now. Of course, on the soccer field, when they do this to me and they say, hey, only speak English, I say, eh bien, monsieur, pour le reste de la match, je vous parle seulement en français. And the rest of their teammates laugh. But also, realize that there's a lot of them that do speak English very well. Okay. Get them in here, John. Get them here to give their opinions to the rest of the board. The last time I've seen a Latino come in here to speak to y'all, his English was so well. Six of you were on the cusp of electing him the seventh alderman. All right, thanks.
Bill, I just want to thank you for your remarks, and just it's the rest of the board, I think, historically has done a pretty good job at doing outreach, and even before I came on board, I'm very proud of the leadership of the town of Carborough, who always have been in the cutting edge and proactively trying to make everything more accessible to all its residents. And I want to say I like your shirt, and also when is the World Cup begins, and who's the first game?
Monday.
Friday. 29th, noon, ESPN2, oh. Costa Rica, Germany.
U.S. plays Monday.
I was going to also ask one little thing. If you could make sure that the American flags go up on the streets for the U.S. games starting Monday.
All right. We'll explore that possibility. Thanks very much, Billy. Other comments on the budget?
Yeah, I have a question, two questions actually. First is, we have an attachment C out of order that's a blank page. On what's at our place? Is there supposed to be an attachment C?
Attachment C didn't change. It's in your original.
Oh, it's in the original.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Same as original.
All right. And Steve, at our previous discussion, I had raised a minor matter for addition to the budget, which was the initial investment in the flush-free urinals. What happened with that?
Where's George? We are looking at that. There's not a specific appropriation in there.
But okay.
I don't recall the board as a body saying put that in there, but we are doing some investigatory work, and if it looks like that's something we can do with that kind of money, we would need to come back to you all for that.
Okay. All right. Thanks. Okay.
With that, I will move the annual budget ordinance, attachment A.
Second.
As presented. Steve?
And you don't have to do it this way, but there are attachments B, C, D, and E.
Yeah, I'm going to make through them.
Okay.
All right. So we're doing attachment A.
Yeah, first. Unless you want them all in one shot, in which case
the option.
We can do that. Okay.
Why don't we move on?
I will amend the motion to include the resolution adopting the classification pay plan, which is B, as well as attachment C, the fees and charges schedule.
And there's also a
what did I miss?
F you won't, would not need. That's only if you didn't adopt the budget.
Yeah, that's informational. Oh, sure is. Right. B and E as well.
Second.
Okay. So items A through E, I guess, basically, have been moved and properly seconded. And I know I speak for the entire board when I say a big thanks to our town manager and our entire town staff for bringing us a budget that we can all be so pleased with. We know you worked really hard on it, and look forward to seeing y'all implement it next year. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed. The matter passes unanimously. Congratulations.
Good Thank job. You very much.
Thank you.
All right. Agenda item D3, a review of the report on storm drain marker contest.
Yes. Okay. On October 26, 2004, staff made a presentation about a storm drain marker program, which is a requirement of the town's National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System Phase 2 stormwater permit. During that presentation, we requested that a design contest include the school system to be conducted to provide an opportunity for public involvement and outreach in the process. And we tonight have the results of that contest, and we'd like for the board to recognize our winning contestants. And Will Autry, our environmental planner, is at the podium to make a presentation. Will.
Thank you. Yes, just to back up and give just a little bit of history here, the MPDES stormwater permit, the town submitted our application for our permit in March of 2003, and One of the requirements that we had suggested that we would do in that application was storm drain marking. And that item fulfills both a public education outreach and a public involvement and participation requirement. And both of those requirements are two of the six minimum measures required by the Phase 2 permits for stormwater. The manager just mentioned, in October 2004, NOAA came to the board and Dr. Rennells came to the board and made a presentation about the storm drain marking program. And at that time, we had initially intended for the storm drain marking program to really be for public involvement and participation on the marking end. And one of the board members at that time suggested that if we had a contest, we could also get involvement on the design end. So it was a really good suggestion, and staff has conducted this contest. And when our permit was issued, became effective on July 1st of 2005, the marking program is one of the things that's supposed to begin during the first permit year of the five-year permit cycle. And so we're happy to say that we're moving forward with that and have selected the winners from our contest here. The flyers for the contest were distributed via the environmental listserv for the town as well as to Chapel Hill and Carrboro City School Systems. And that's really kind of how we got to where we are tonight. Storm drain markers are going to be placed on our storm drains throughout town, we hope eventually, on all of them. And the idea behind them is really for a number of things, specifically to raise awareness and improve water quality. Also, as we mentioned, to involve the public and get the public to participate. The Department of Environment and Natural Resources recently funded a study that ECU students did and found that an alarming number of citizens and public are not aware that water that goes down the storm drain does not go to the wastewater treatment plant. It goes straight into our creeks and our rivers and our lakes, and that's the point of this program. Initially, staff was looking into some prefabricated designs, and this is a very simple design. Some of the others that I'm going to show you here that we looked at before for ideas have a lot more information, phone numbers, where to call, those sorts of things. Some have much more color and are brighter than others. But one of the ones that we particularly liked, this one was maybe a little bit too busy and difficult to provide the information without going overboard, but this next one is the one that we thought really kind of had the amount of information we wanted to, describes what the drain is for. It has a Spanish message as well, a phone number to call. And so this is kind of the model for the information that we wanted to pass on. So that being kept in mind, we moved forward with that, and we had 80 different entries from three schools in our contest. We're really pleased to have such a great turnout for that, or great participation. And we have six honorable mentions, too, from each of those three schools that we're going to recognize tonight, as well as the winner. And I wanted to go through these quickly here and show you. This was designed by Davis Wall from Carrboro Elementary. And it's difficult to read maybe from there, but it says, "Don't pollute the earth, the water, the river." It's that easy. Davis, would you like to come up now? And the mayor is going to give the yes. Okay, great. And then the next one is Rosalie Moody. Rosalie, if you'd like to go ahead and step up, and this one says, "Help make the world a better place. Don't pollute." Thank you. And Emily Stranahan was from Smith Middle School. And Emily, if you'd like to come up. And hers says, "Dump no waste, drains to creek." And she also included a Spanish message, "No eche basura, descarga al arroyo." Ms. Puttick was not able to be here tonight, but Rachel Puttick had another very nice design here, which expresses the relationship between our surface waters and our drinking water. So that's one of the reasons that this was selected. And then Joey Yu, if you'd like to step up, please. And Joey's message says, drains to Morgan Creek, and he has a nice scene here of the water coming down through the hill. And Haley, would you like to go ahead and step up? Haley's design says, is that rain down your storm drain? What goes down drains to Morgan Creek. Thank you, Haley. And our winner tonight is Stephanie Bowie from Smith Middle School. Stephanie, would you like to come on up? And Stephanie had this nice design with dump no waste, drains to creek message, and a nice frog and some leaves. And we're going to use this as the inspiration for our town hall. The next steps are for staff to finalize our marker design and select a vendor. Public Works already has funding from this fiscal year and the coming fiscal year allocated to complete this the purchase of the storm drain markers. And once we have the markers, staff will initiate a volunteer storm drain marking program, as well as look into opportunities for other staff to actually place some of these markers in other locations. As I mentioned, we're going to use Haley's frog and leaf design, and this is a draft right now, which still needs to be cleaned up by the vendor before we get these printed, but we'll have a frog in the middle and then with the leaves, and we're trying to get the colors from the flag there, some blue and orange and green, so that's what we're looking forward to. I wanted to say... Pardon?
Carolina blue, Carolina blue.
Well, it's in no man's land, I believe. We won't get into that, maybe.
Bowling Creek.
I wanted to offer a special thanks to these three teachers who had their classes participate. Gemma Bladen, a third grade teacher from Carver Elementary, and Elizabeth Bunn, a science teacher from Smith Middle School. And Cheryl Finnegan, fifth grade science teacher from Glenwood Elementary. Special thanks to them, to the staff who helped with this effort, and especially to all the students who submitted all of the fantastic entries. We really appreciate that. Alderman, there's in your packet is a resolution to accept this report, recognize the winners, and to direct staff to proceed with this marking program.
So
thank
moved.
You very much.
Second.
All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Matter passed unanimously.
Great great participation and creativity on this project. This is the way to do this kind of thing. So everybody who participated is to be congratulated. Good job, folks.
I want to thank all the contestants and just say, as a classroom teacher who has taken students out and done storm drain stenciling right here in Chapel Hill and Carborough, it's wonderful to have our own design. It's a fantastic sense of pride that you have, and each one of the contestants, your images reflect a great understanding of what the environmental message needs to be, so thank you.
Okay. Agenda item D5.
Okay. Item D5 is a minor modification to the Lake Hogan Farms conditional use permit for sanitary sewer easement relocation. MI Homes of Raleigh has submitted an application for a minor modification to the existing conditional use permit to allow the relocation of a sanitary sewer easement in Phase 8 and 9 of the townhouse phase of Lake Hogan Farms subdivision. Pursuant to Section 15-64B of the Town of Carborough Land Use Ordinance, a minor modification to a CUP is permissible with the approval of the Board of Aldermen. Town staff request that the Board review, deliberate, and make a decision regarding the minor modification to the existing CUP. And James Thomas is here to give you all a brief overview.
Good evening. I'll keep my presentation short. Grant your wishes.
Let me just ask this.
Okay.
People feel the need for a presentation. This is really pretty straightforward, unless we have questions for James.
No.
Nope. Okay, then James will just forego that, and I'll turn it back over to Mark. So moved.
Second. It's been moved and properly seconded, whatever it may be. The relocation.
The relocation.
The resolution.
Yeah.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, matter passes unanimously. Agenda item D6, the applicant's spouse is at a PTA meeting until 9 o'clock, so I propose that we probably won't actually be here that long, but can we move that to the end of the agenda for the moment, and we'll move on with D7?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
D7 is a request from Morningside Drive, Spring Valley Road, and Blue Ridge Road traffic calming. Residents of Blue Ridge Road, Morningside Drive, and Spring Valley Road between Morningside and Pathway have expressed concern about speeding traffic and have submitted petitions under the town's residential traffic management plan. Town staff has collected data and evaluated traffic conditions on these streets and recommends the following. One is the installation of two speed tables on Morningside Drive. Two is the installation of two speed tables on Spring Valley Road between Morningside and Pathway. Three is the creation of a three-way stop at the Morningside-Spring Valley intersection. Four is the scheduling of one or more meetings with residents of Blue Ridge Road to discuss traffic concerns and possible solutions. And five is the monitoring of town staff by town staff of traffic volume and speed on Blue Ridge Road following any changes to Morningside Drive and Spring Valley Road. And Dale McKeel, our transportation planner, is at the podium. And Dale, I don't know how much more you've got to say about this.
The resolution is making actions as well as the ordinance amending Chapter 6 of the town code. It is presented.
Second.
Let's do it. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Matter passes unanimously. It's really great. It's really great to see. It took us a while to get to the point where we had a system for doing this, but it's great to see that that system seems to be working full steam.
And there's a lot of work that went behind that lightning quick adoption. And so the resident, both residents and Dale did great work on that.
Thanks.
I just want to add that as someone who drives a lot down those streets.
I think you'd bike.
Well, I bike mostly, but when it's raining, I drive. I'm really glad we're going to have this traffic calming there because I think it's going to make drivers feel safer as well as pedestrians.
I also think it's going to help bikers to feel safer. The Spring Valley Road coming south on Spring Valley Road into Morningside, there's that blind curve, and I think this is really going to help. So, thank you.
All right. Great.
I think, as Mark said, it took a long time to work the kinks out of this whole process, but it's really working now. This is great.
It is. Agenda item D8,
another somewhat long-term project. Resolution declaring the cost of Quail Roost Drive Improvement Project, ordering preparation of a preliminary assessment roll, and setting a public hearing on such assessment roll. Paving improvements to Quail Roost Drive from roughly James Street to Lisa Drive are now completed. Purpose of this agenda item is for the board to adopt a resolution declaring the cost of the Quail Roost Drive Improvement Project, directing the town clerk to prepare a preliminary assessment roll, and setting a public hearing on such assessment roll. And George Size, our public works director, is at the podium, and Drew Cummings is passing out a revised agenda with the actual numbers.
Second that.
Right.
Okay. You've got to be quicker on here, George.
The resolution. This is basically going to make the people who live along Quail Roost Drive share the cost of paving the road.
Right, and there'll be a public hearing on June 27th.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously.
It's a beautiful job.
Did that cover both of these items?
That was D8.
Need
a
D8.
Separate
resolution.
Then we have D9 on Lisa.
D9 is Lisa. It's the same thing.
Same exact deal. Lisa Drive.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Matter passed unanimously.
Another fine report, George.
Thanks, George.
It was excellent. It's just an excellent.
All right.
The roads look beautiful.
That brings us to item G6, and the applicant is not able to be here at this time. However, I did meet with them earlier today, so maybe I can share a few comments from the meeting and we can act appropriately. But before we get to that, I just wanted to clarify with ask the town attorney for some advice.
The company I work for, we're located in the same building, 201 North Greensboro Street, and we rent from the same landlord that WCOM Radio does. To my mind, that doesn't, I don't think that that presents any problem as far as a possible conflict of interest, but I just wanted to
get you.
Okay. So with that, I met with the folks from the radio station this morning, and the short version, well, maybe we should have the presentation from the staff first, but do you want to?
Sure. This is an item for minor modification to the conditional use permit for 201 North Greensboro Street to allow an open-air market. And let me, of course, Chris Frank is not here, but he has submitted an application for a minor modification that would allow an open-air market at 201 North Greensboro Street. And pursuant to Section 15-64B of the Town of Carrboro Land Use Ordinance, a minor modification to a CUP is permissible with the approval of the Board of Aldermen. In this case, staff is recommending that the board consider holding a public hearing before rendering a decision on the minor modification to the CUP. And James Thomas has a brief overview.
All right, once again, we're here dealing with the minor modification for an open-air market at 201 North Greensboro. I'm sure many of you are familiar with this area. The red is obviously showing where they're proposing to have the open-air market. They are proposing a maximum of 25 tables. That's the actual maximum. The actual area in red is approximately 3,000 square feet, give or take. Also, you're probably well aware there is an existing real estate, and also the radio station in itself. I just took a couple pictures here. This is the area where the tables will be set up. This is another portion of the area where the tables will be set up. And they are proposing to remove a portion of that mulch in order to accommodate the flea market on Saturdays. And like I said, the hours they're proposing is 8 in the morning till 6 in the evening for this market. Adjacent to the property is the 26 parking spaces. Obviously, this will be used as the parking for both the people that will be purchasing stuff and also for the people that will be setting up tables. As Steve stated, the staff recommendation is for a public hearing to be held, but if the board does choose to move forward, we do have a couple of suggestions, and that would be that the minor modification of the CUP be valid for a period of 3 months. Upon that, the end of the three-month period, the minor modification will be reviewed and or extended. And then the second one being that the language contained in the WCOM flea market guidelines and in the contract for the COM flea market is hereby added to the resolution to make it clear that the information is a binding part of this approval. If you have any questions of me, I'll try to answer them.
Okay. We'll have a couple of questions for staff, and then we'll...
I mean, I think that's okay, but I mean, yeah, if you want to, Berkeley, but I think that this, given the proximity of the location to neighborhoods, that it is appropriate to hold a public hearing before we take action on this item.
Right.
So,
just by process.
Mm-hmm. Just to share with you the comments I got from the folks at WCOM, I guess their concern was that first of all that they don't want a temporary permit because they believe that once they undertake this, they want to make a commitment to do it and do it on an ongoing basis, and that the vendors at the flea market will also be people who won't want to necessarily get involved in it unless they know that it'll be available on an ongoing basis. So they were not interested in having a temporary permit, regardless. And they also felt like the other main point that they made to me was that in all of the review that this was their opinion or their perspective on it was that the staff had not really identified any way in which their application did not meet the requirements of the ordinance, and so they felt like the permit should just be issued to them, and that a public hearing would not really be necessary. I think that's the essence of it. In short.
Yeah, I guess I don't agree that a. Are you wanting to recognize Berkeley first?
Well, maybe we should do that.
Yeah, okay.
That's fine. Berkeley, why don't you come on?
But essentially what you said, Mark, you know, is what our opinion is that, first of all, there's no money to promote this. It's going to have to be word of mouth, and it's going to take some time to put it together. So it might take 3 months before they're... you know, is enough people there, enough vendors there to even sort of make it happen. I mean, you're not going to do it with three. You're going to wait until, what, you've got 10, 12 or whatever, so that clearly something is going on there. That might take 3 months. So we would really rather proceed with a full permit so that we can go when we represent it to someone or, you know, pitch it to someone, will you commit to come to doing this, that they will agree, okay, sounds good, I'm here till Christmas or whatever. The other thing that I thought of just this evening, this is temporary anyway, because they're going to redevelop that whole site, what, at some point, and not some, no. I mean, well.
Okay. I mean, we're talking years here, Berkeley.
So. Okay, well, it's temporary.
Just a couple
in the eye of the whole, right?
Yeah. Just a couple million bucks away.
That's the same as our lives being temporary.
That's a good point, too.
And I really don't think that the parking is going to be a huge issue just because... I mean, there's so many people walking around there anyway. That's why we thought it would be a good idea. I mean, the main asset the station has to try and get some kind of funding, which has none now, and we're trying to get at least enough minimal funding coming in to make a station manager happen so that there can be ongoing organization, because clearly an all-volunteer entity can fall apart, as everybody knows, without somebody there kind of pushing things along. So the whole point of it is to get enough of a decent income stream coming in so that there's a few hundred dollars a week or whatever that at least somebody can be paid to make sure that the radio station stays viable. And it's certainly, you know, I think the station's doing great as far as that goes. But
it was Dan Hawks.
Okay. Thanks, Berkeley.
Yeah.
I have a couple of comments. First of all, I think WCOM is a very valuable institution to the community, and as Berkeley pointed out, it's all run by volunteers, and it's expensive because of the equipment and whatnot to run a radio station. I'd certainly like to see it grow. Where I live is kind of, it's a little bit fuzzy, the reception, and I'd like to see at some point the signal reach all of Carrboro, which it doesn't yet. So I really support the notion of this is a fundraising opportunity for the radio station. But getting back to this question of the public hearing and the proximity to neighborhoods as an issue with that, is the fact is that this is in the heart of perhaps our busiest or one of our busiest commercial intersections, that Saturday morning is full of commercial-related activity, that people are coming to downtown Carrboro to take advantage of the many things that Carrboro offers. And I see this open-air market as having great synergy with that, not only with the farmers market, but with the rest of our businesses and the potential to perhaps spawn some homegrown enterprises that might at one point grow into larger businesses. But I don't see in the context of what's already going on downtown and what's going on around that site on a Saturday, that this raises a particular problem that should require a public hearing. I would also point out that this is something that was in the newspaper already prior to our meeting, and I certainly haven't heard a whimper of concern about it from anyone in the public. I mean, we all know we can't go by that always beforehand. But, you know, I just see that in terms of, you know, you go downtown on a Saturday and there's so many people walking around, there's so many people driving, biking in, whatever, that this is just going to be another piece of that, another piece of what makes Carrboro the vital center of Southern Orange County on a Saturday morning.
Before we go on, there is one other matter we just need to get some clarification on from the attorney, which is I had forgotten this, but Alderman Herrera is a member of the board of directors for the applicant for WCOM Radio. It's a nonprofit organization, so he's not paid by anything by them or anything. But do you think that we need to recuse him from considering this issue since he's a board member?
I think the answer probably is going to be yes. If he's essentially that kind of it takes him outside the impartial observer status.
Okay.
So I think it probably makes sense to do that.
Okay. So
can you move the gentleman be allowed to recuse himself from the side?
Yes. Okay. It's been moved in second.
Unless you have to go.
It's been properly moved in second that we recuse John Herrera from voting on this matter. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously. Okay, John, thanks.
I'm not here.
Okay. Turn the microphone away from him. All right, sorry.
Oh, sorry, Alex. Yeah. I don't disagree with anything that Dan said. I think this is a really cool idea. It's a great project. I'm offering this in the spirit of trying to identify and work through any problems that might arise so that it doesn't come around and bite you in the ass and cause you problems later and make it hard for you to run it as a long-term enterprise. And I know that people in the surrounding neighborhoods are very vocal and have they very often have concerns and are very sensitive to the board taking action about changes in use on tracks that are immediately adjacent to them. That's the B2, and as everybody knows, we have been very hesitant to make any changes to what happens in the B2 without an extensive public process. So the idea here, Berkeley, isn't to try to drag it out. It's just to try to see what might bubble up to the surface and make sure that we identify and deal with those problems so that, I mean, I fully support the application. I think it's a great use and a great idea, but for it to be a long-term viable enterprise, you don't need neighbors who become angry for one reason or another. In that particular location, this is an issue that has arisen with the farmers market time and time again over the years, which is that as much as we try to encourage people to walk and to use the walkability of our downtown, parking is an issue. And people parking in neighborhoods is often an issue. It just may not happen. It may not be a problem. But I just think it's prudent to try to hash through those issues and determine whether it is a problem and arrive at some solutions so that you can move forward with it. That's why I suggest we take it to public hearing.
Let me turn to Randy for a moment.
Yeah, we're down here. I'm down here. all the way down here. I love this application. I think it's just the kind of environment we want to see in Carrboro, where we have a wonderful radio station that represents Carrboro and is taking action to support itself. I think a one-shot deal would never work. I think you really need to look at establishing something that's going to be long-term, and it's not going to be easy. You're right. It would take 3-4 months before word of mouth really got out there. I think it's a very exciting prospect. But I also know Saturday mornings are a bear in that, right at that intersection. And so because of that, I would want and welcome public comment. I think it's Short Street is on B2 immediately behind it.
Center.
Right.
Yeah.
Front and center, right there. So, it'd be really good for folks to have an opportunity if they they have concerns or they have, you know, issues with it, to be able to speak publicly. And I think, you know, I'd rather err on the side of welcoming that and supporting the application, but with an eye towards public comment.
You know, I just would like to add another thought, which is that I see this as a real, you know, perhaps, I mean, I guess we'll see how it works, but I see it as a real opportunity for fostering some really grassroots economic development, in the sense that it will really, the amount of operating capital that a person will need in order to participate in this flea market and become a vendor and hopefully boost their household income would be truly minimal. And so I particularly like the project from that perspective as well. I hear the points that have been made about having a hearing. I'm not sure that, you know, I mean, I'm not sure that it's really necessary to slow this process down to that extent, because from, you know, I mean, I guess realistically, what public hearing date would we be talking about? Sometime in September?
June 27th.
Oh, June 27th? We could put it on the June 27th.
I don't know if they have to do 1,000 feet.
They've got to do their notification, that sort of thing, but there's still time for that.
But it's possible to do it on June 27th.
Yeah, I mean, if it's going to push it off till September, I'm not.
Right.
If there's room on the June 27th agenda, I guess I'm okay with doing that. That's only about, what is that? That's 3 weeks
away.
3 weeks.
I'm okay with that too.
You okay with that?
My chief concern was that I just didn't want to see this drag into September, and before you know it, it's like 2007.
Right.
Sure. So,
I have one other concern I want to mention before we move on with that, because staff is recommending that we include a couple of their documents in the approval when we get to that point. And one of the stipulations in the vendor contract for the flea market is that the vendors may not park in Century Center parking lot. I agree with that we don't want those spaces taken up all day by the vendors. And I think, you know, for them to have that in their contract is fine, but it occurred to me that and perhaps some of these other points are not necessarily matters that the town needs to get into in terms of, you know, it's not really our business. I guess what I'm wondering is if really the guidelines are sufficient to assert the town's interest in this, and that we might not need to include this contract, you know, like whose responsibility it is to collect the sales tax, or who's, you know, that's between them, and they work
that out.
Dan,
are you thinking that the parking issue would come under the manager on duties responsibilities? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, I think the point is more that, I guess the one question that I would have in general, not necessarily to do with this application, but, you know, the staff suggestion about the Century Center parking lot is sort of predicated on this assumption that the parking lot there is for the Century Center and not for people who are coming to shop downtown, or not for downtown, the benefit of downtown businesses. And I mean, that's perfectly fine if that's what we want to decide, but I don't know that we've ever decided that. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I think it's not the staff recommendation that be included was not the idea that people shopping downtown shouldn't use it, but there are a lot of events in the Century Center on the weekends, on Saturdays, and the concern was with potentially 25 vendors and limited parking in that area.
Right.
It would make perfect sense as a vendor to park there. It's so convenient. Tie up the space all day, and then people who are paying money to come to the Century Center are having to, you know, hunt for parking somewhere else. So that was the concern.
I would think they would be parking. I would think that they would be parking on the other side of the, you know, in their designated parking spot and have some kind of a pass for the day. That would come under something that would be requested of the manager on duty.
Yeah, and I guess there are a number of other stipulations in this contract that are things that we don't typically require of a vendor, you know, in their whatever agreement or permit they have with the town. And so I'm not sure that it's appropriate to include this particular document. So I'm not saying we need to decide on that tonight, but I want to put that out there for staff as food for thought for next time and for you all that, you know,
okay.
We want to take that up again.
All right. Is there a motion?
Move to set the public hearing on the 27th.
Just one clarification on that. There, it's a question of what sort of notification do you want to have. I mean, it's not the normal CUP notification, of course. The ordinance requires 1,000 feet. For non-CUP matters, it's 150 feet. And in this case, it's not required hearing, so you can kind of choose.
Well, what
it's
what,
normally 150. Well, I mean, it's either 1,000 or 150 or.
Those are the two breakdowns in the ordinance. I mean, for non-CUP matters, when you have public hearing, it's 150 feet, and it's 1,000 feet for a CUP issuances or revocations. But this is neither, and so
it's a minor modification.
Yeah, I mean,
so
it's
not a CUP matter,
right?
But it's not the issuance of a CUP that requires. So it's basically the question is, who do you want to get notified? It's
just, right. Well, it's
half the properties in Carborough are within 1,000 feet.
That's the concern. There's a lot of properties.
Well, 150 probably. I mean, given the compact nature of that neck of the woods, 150 would probably encompass most of the properties where people.
Well,
would
yeah, and the question is, would it capture?
I mean, there are people I can think of right off the top of my head who are going to want to know about this.
Right.
And are going to be
so would it capture Short Street and Center Street? I mean, that's what we want to look to do.
It'll reach Short and Center, and some of the property owners on Oak Avenue would be reached by that, too.
Yeah.
And it would certainly get the businesses across the street and at Weaver Street, Carmel Mall.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right, so we're going to use the 150-foot standard. Okay, so I take the motion to be that we're going to have a hearing on June 27th.
June 27th. It would also have to be advertised in the newspaper, of course.
Right.
I guess.
Yeah. And we'll use 150-foot standard for official notices, and obviously we'll get around other ways as well. All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, matter passed unanimously. All right. Thanks very much. We're done.
We're done.
I appreciate everybody's effort to.
We're not done.
We're not done.
No, you've got E, F, G, and H.
Oh.
Sorry, because I have two things.
Does the staff have anything for us tonight? Okay. Alderman Coleman.
Actually, I just have one thing. In the packet was a copy of a one-page write-up I did on the public power issue that I presented to the joint review meeting last Thursday, and the reason I went to that meeting was because Doug Crawford Brown was presenting the carbon reduction program, and there was a natural tie-in. What I didn't know was going to happen, but turned out very well, was that at the end of my presentation, I said, well, and I need people to help do research and to, you know, kind of kick this thing around, and Doug said, well, how about if I put a group of students to work on it? So in the fall, what's it called, the environmental something program, Carolina Environmental Program, that Doug heads up, there will be a group of students that will be investigating the question of the viability, the benefits, and potential pitfalls of public power for Carborough, and we can expect a presentation from them toward the end of that semester, so November, December timeframe. So that's all.
Okay, well, let's plan on, depending, I guess, on what they find, let's plan on at some point thereafter having a work session where we might discuss some of the issues involved. Thanks, Dan, for doing that. Any other board members have anything?
No.
Okay. Hour and 15 minutes. It's really not too bad for that long of an agenda.